Just want to give a quick announcement that after the service, there is an opportunity to have prayer over here. There'll be people available to pray with you. If you want privacy, you can pray in the prayer room, or you can pray outside of it. It's up to you, but that is available. And also after the service, about 10, 15 minutes after the service, we have a discussion group about the message, and we meet just behind the sanctuary in the Rainbow Room, right back there, and you're welcome to join us for that. Lord, we thank you for Psalm 139 and the power that is found in these words. We pray that you would help us to understand what it means for us, and that it would be clear in its application to our experience today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I've mentioned that I really love the Psalms. The honesty that is in these words are just tremendous. But even within those 150 Psalms that are found in our scriptures, there are certain Psalms that just seem to really touch us, that really strike a chord. The 23rd Psalm would be one that comes to mind. Last week we looked at Psalm 121, which again I think is one that has a real powerful message for us and is a tremendous encouragement. I would also put right near the top Psalm 139. And as Robin said, there are a lot of parts of this psalm that are quite familiar. If you have grown up in the church, I am sure that you have heard some of those verses. And I guarantee you, if we went to the local Christian bookstore, we would find multiple pieces of Christian art that would have various verses from Psalm 139. Because there's just something beautiful in these words. There's a depth of reflection of our experience with God that are found in these psalms. But you will find, perhaps, as the psalm was read to us, that there are some verses that are not as familiar. They might not be the verses that we like to dwell on. And we're going to take a look at that because it's good for the Word of God to make us feel uncomfortable. It's not meant just to make us feel good about ourselves, but sometimes it's there to challenge us and to make us reflect very deeply as to who we are and what is going on inside us. So we're going to look at a number of aspects of this psalm. The first part I want to look at is the fact that God knows us. One of the things that we find throughout the psalms is when the psalmist really wants to make a point, the psalmist will repeat himself over and over again. And what will happen is not just saying the exact same thing in the same way, but we'll say the same thing, just changing the wording a little bit. And that's exactly what we find in Psalm 139. When he's trying to get across the message that God knows us, notice the different words that are used. So he talks about knowing us a number of times, but also uses the words searching, perceiving, discerning, being familiar. So over and over again, this is put to us to let us know and to reinforce the idea that God really does know us. Every once in a while, we hear stories about a celebrity. Maybe it's a movie star or a musician or something, someone who's really famous. And they'll want to go and just do something normal. They want to go to just a restaurant, or they want to go for a jog, or go outside and spend time with their children. But of course, there's always a problem because there's reporters and paparazzi who are looking to take pictures. And so they'll maybe dress down, they'll put a baseball hat on, sunglasses, which is silly because as soon as you're dressed like that, it looks like you're trying to hide your identity. So it doesn't really help when you do that anyways. But they'll go out in public like that. And of course, very often, a reporter will discover who they are, and out comes the camera, and their identity is revealed, and all those pictures are put out there. So there are people who try to prevent people from knowing who they are. Well, God is far more capable than any reporter when it comes to knowing who we are. God knows every part of ourselves. He knows those secrets that we don't want to share with anyone. Those things that we have done, those words that we've said, even those thoughts that have been in our mind. God knows every single thing within us. We are completely transparent to God. He knows us fully. There is nothing that can be hidden. And that really leads into the next part of what we're looking at. It's the fact that we can't escape God. The psalmist tells us there's no place where we can go, where we can hide, and God will not find us. Now, you could ask, why would anyone want to hide from God? Don't we want to be found by God? Well, that's not necessarily the case for everyone. We can look at the story of Adam and Eve and how after they had eaten the forbidden fruit, they tried to hide from God because they were ashamed of the sin that was in their life. And sometimes that happens today, that people will do something that they know that they shouldn't have done, or maybe they didn't do something that they knew they should have done. They feel ashamed that they have done that. They feel like they don't want God to see them. And so they try to hide from God. And so maybe they'll stay away from church for a while, or they'll refuse to read their Bible, or they'll separate themselves from Christian community so that God will not find them. Well, it doesn't matter. God will find us every single time. There is no way that we can hide from God. There's actually a poem that was written, and I'm not going to read the words to you, but it was called The Hound of Heaven. And the words in that poem are talking about how God is like a hound who will find us every single time. There is no way that we can hide. And I don't want you to hear this in a frightening way. It's not a matter of God will find you in your sin and his punishment and wrath is going to get you, and so you should be just shaking in your boots. That's not the message I'm trying to get across. What I'm trying to say is God loves us. And even when we have done things wrong, even when there is shame and we're embarrassed, God loves us completely. And we should not try to hide from him, but God will seek us out because of his tremendous love. The next thing I want to focus on that the psalmist looks at here is this idea of being designed by God. We are not an accident. God has designed us for a purpose. He has a plan for us. He has made us in a certain way. And I love the image that's found here, is that he knits us together. Now, I have a confession to make. I'm not a knitter, okay? I know I'm shocking everyone here, but I am not a knitter. And I don't know everything about knitting, but I know something about knitting. And what I do know about knitting is usually people knit to make something. Usually, at least most people don't knit just for the sake of knitting. Now, that's not a universal rule. Actually, my father, got my mother once to teach him how to knit. And he was so amused by the fact that he could knit that he would actually go down to Ricky's Tavern on Hartzell Road when that was there. And he would just love to shock his friends, because as his friends would be sitting there at the bar, he'd pull out his knitting and he'd just start knitting. And he wasn't knitting anything. He was just knitting. And he just had a great time doing that. He was very amused by that. But normally, people don't do that. Normally, if you're going to knit, you're going to knit mittens or a hat or something. You're knitting something. And that's the kind of image that is being used here. God knits us together in our mother's womb. He is making us for a purpose. We are not just an accident by any means. Now, when I talk about this, there can be a concern that comes up of, okay, what is my purpose? What is God's will? And sometimes people get really stressed out about this. They're thinking, okay, I need to know the exact career that God has made me for. I need to know which city I'm supposed to live in and to fulfill that career. I need to know exactly the one person who's going to be my spouse, the one that I have to marry. And people get so stressed out. You know, what if I make a mistake in one of these decisions? What will happen? And I would say that we shouldn't get stressed out about that. God does have a plan for us, but I don't think it's a matter of that if you choose to live in St. Catharines instead of Thorold, that somehow you're now outside of God's will because you've made the wrong decision. That's not the case at all. What is God's will for us? Well, someone came to Jesus and said, "What is the most important commandment?" And he said, it's to love God and to love our neighbor. So if you want to know, are you in God's will? Are you fulfilling God's will? Are you fulfilling God's design for your life? Ask yourself, are you loving God and are you loving people? In whatever circumstances, wherever God has put you, are you doing those things? And if you are doing those things, you are fulfilling God's will. Now, it would be really easy for me to move on from this point here, but there's something that I have to wrestle with because of what day it is. I mentioned that today is World Autism Awareness Day. And the question to ask is, how does that fit with the idea that God designs us in our mother's womb? What does that mean? Does that mean that God decides specifically that an individual is going to have autism or not going to have autism? And you know what? I don't have the answers for that. I cannot give you a full explanation of how God works in that way. But I can tell you something, that everyone is designed for a reason, and everyone has a purpose from God. And that includes people with autism and people without autism. And so I can look at our family, that our children have been a blessing to many people, and I've seen God use them over and over again, not just in spite of their autism, but because of their autism, that they have been a blessing. And I think about this congregation here, that Adam is a blessing to every one of us. I know that I'm always excited when I see him at church. He blesses my life in many ways. So what I can say, even though I don't have all the answers, is God will use every one of us, no matter what our makeup, no matter the way our brains are wired, it doesn't matter. God's got a purpose for every one of our lives. Now, no one has ever asked me to edit the Bible. But if they did, if someone said, you know, here, take a look at the scriptures, you could take out passages you don't like. Now, of course, I would never do that. But if I did do that, I would say I would be tempted to take out verses 19 to 22. Did you notice those verses when Robin read that to us? If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Wow. I mean, this has been a really good psalm up to this point. I mean, it's really been beautiful. It's really been uplifting and encouraging. And all of a sudden, there's all this hate language and wanting to slay and all these other things. Like, why would David ruin a perfectly good psalm by sticking this stuff in here? In fact, I guarantee that there have been times that this psalm has been read at a certain event, and guaranteed, the reader stops before you get to verse 19, because it just ruins it. It ruins the whole psalm. What do we do with this? How do we, as Christians, read this psalm? Is this trying to teach us that, yes, indeed, we should be hating people? And is this teaching us that we should be hoping that people will be killed by God, by God's wrath? Is that really what it's being taught? Well, I want to just back up and just remind you of what we've looked at already. We've looked at 3 points. One is God knows us completely. Number 2 is we can't escape from God. And number 3 is we are designed by God. Okay? Now let's start with the third one there. We've been designed by God. How has God designed us? Well, God has designed us as emotional beings who interact with other people in relationships. What is going to be the natural outcome of that? There's going to be conflict. Guaranteed, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be bad things happening. There's going to be backstabbing, betrayal. There's going to be miscommunication. There's going to be all kinds of things that happen. We are going to get upset when people rebel against God and people want to blaspheme God. You know, it's going to bother us. We're going to feel those emotions. That's the way God has designed us to be. And so what else have we looked there? That God knows us. So our temptation is when we feel these emotions, someone has hurt us, someone has abused us in some way, someone has betrayed us, something bad has really happened in our life, and we're going to think, oh, those are not very spiritual thoughts, so I need to push them down. I got to push them down. I need to pretend those things didn't happen. I got to put my Jesus smile on and pretend everything is absolutely okay. And yet, I don't think that's what the scriptures are telling us to do. In the context of this psalm, we are encouraged to be honest to God. Since He knows every part of us, since we cannot hide from Him, and since we as emotional and relational beings are going to have these feelings anyways, we need to communicate them to God. Why not tell God that we are upset with someone who has done something really bad? Why do we think that that should be hid away? I'm not saying that you go around to everyone in the congregation or everyone in your neighborhood and badmouth someone. We absolutely should not do this. This is taking place in the context of communication between the individual and God. And if you've been hurt by someone deeply, you need to be honest with that with God. You just put it right out there. You're not going to offend Him. He's not going to be upset. He's not going to say, well, that's not very Christian of you to feel that way. No, you let that go. And that is the first step toward healing. I don't know how you could possibly be healed from hurt unless at some point you confront that and you acknowledge it and be completely honest and bring it to God. And I know that it's uncomfortable to talk about this. In fact, I was meeting with some other pastors, and I was telling them that I was going to preach on 139 and that I was going to deal with those verses. And one of the pastors said, don't do it. Just stay away from those verses. There's nothing good about those verses. There's no Christian application to those verses. And I disagreed with them because I really believe in our connection with God, we need to be honest with that, not so that we can hold it into our hearts and become bitter. In fact, this is the step that's required to get it out of our hearts, to remove the bitterness, because you can work as hard as you want to push it down deep inside you, but it's still going to be there. Until you give it over to God, it is going to be inside you doing damage. And so it's only after we have done this that we can truly pray the last part of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love this psalm. It is a beautiful psalm. It is both encouraging and challenging. And in this psalm, we find out that God knows us. We can't hide from God. God has designed us. And because of all of those things, we need to be completely honest with God. This is the truth. Honest to God. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one who is here. And Lord, I'm sure that in a group this size, that there are people who have been hurt by others, who are feeling tremendous emotion towards the pain that they have experienced at the hand of someone else. And Lord, I pray that they would feel the courage and the strength to be completely honest with you, that no longer would they push it deep down inside, but they would be able to bring it to you. You already know every part of our being. You know all of our feelings and thoughts. Let us be honest with you so that you can begin the process of healing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.